Reading from Jivadharma, chapter 24, Prameya Namaparad, Omagana Timurandasya, Yananjana Shalakaya, Taksurun Mulatam Yena, Tasmai Si Gurave Namaha, Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam, Kapitam Yena Bhutale, Sayambhu Pukadamayam, Dadati Sapadantikam, Vanshakopa Tarubhyascha, Kripa Shindu Vayevacha, Atitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Shivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. So, greetings from Sri Vrindavan. I'm making the call from my new small apartment ashram. It just seems so ideal in every way for me to do all the activities of Krishna consciousness that are required of me. So studying Jivadharma, this wonderful novel by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which discusses all the tattvas or truths of Krishna consciousness in a very novel way, of describing a story of people coming to Krishna consciousness, the generation after Lord Chaitanya. And now we're in this, and I think the dialogue will continue to the end of the book, the discussion between this aspirant and his uncle, who also becomes a spiritual aspirant, coming to Krishna consciousness, and now they're not only convinced, their particular doubt was cleared. Everyone may have a particular doubt. One may be a materialist, one may be an impersonalist, one may be a caste Brahmin. But there may be a particular misconception that needs to be cleared. And in the book, these various type of people have come, and we've learned the tattva on these subjects, on Jivadharma itself. What is the eternal occupation, nature of the soul? And what is the relationship of that to the caste system? And why is materialism, which many people or most people embrace, such a false philosophy? Now, they're being educated on Abhideya, Prameya, what is to be known. And there's Pramana, the method of knowing it. So one of the things to be known, and very important in our particular tradition, because our Abhideya is bhakti, devotional service, what is to be known is Nam Tattva, Taramadye Sarvashreshte Nama Sankirtan, Nira Aparade Poya Prayat. Of all the 10 of the practices, of all the 9 prominent practices of devotional service, the process of Sankirtan, Nam Sankirtan, chanting the holy names, is the best. And if it's done without offense, we can easily achieve the goal of life, which is a heart full of divine love, kira, Krishna praying. So now, the subject of Nam Tattva was explained, and they're at the Guru's ashram, and the Guru seeing Vrajanath and Vijay Kumar's eagerness to know about this particular truth, just like we should be eager to know. We just know one, this one truth. We fully realize this one truth, our life can become perfect. So he said to them, just as Nam is the highest truth, so Nam Aparad, offense against Sri Nam, is the most frightening of all kinds of sins of offenses. So Nam is so important, but it's also important to understand Nam Aparad, because if you make an effort, you try hard to stop committing offenses to the holy name, then Shudanam can manifest very quickly. I'm going to say it again. If you really try hard, if you really sit, you really try to concentrate, then you can achieve Shudanam. And Shudanam is the pure name. When it's free from all offenses, then Krishna appears fully within his name. Now remember, the name is not different from the name. Krishna is his name. And like any person, the degree of their revelation depends on your love. And if you offend the person, disregard the person, minimize the person, criticize the person, offend those who the person loves, diss the person, then that person will remain hidden. It's the same thing with the holy name. When you avoid offenses, then Nam will be confident to reveal its full glory. And the full glory is the full manifestation of God in his most personal aspect that will certainly awaken within your heart, excuse me, Krishna Prema. Certainly will awaken in your heart Krishna Prema. And that is the goal. To have pleasure is the goal. To have happiness, but happiness is love. And this is the essence of God's love. We share in God's love. That's it. Love is shared between the lover and beloved. We share love, which is God's pleasure, and therefore we can have as much pleasure as God. God is so merciful, we can enjoy as much as he does. So now we'll continue this dialogue. Vijay, it seems to me the sadhaka should know about Nam Aparad. Please be merciful and tell us in detail about it. I think right now, at least for this section coming up, basically we'll just be reading together. So try to be attentive because it's such an important subject. There is a very deep and essential analysis of the 10 kinds of Nam Aparad in the Padma Purana. So we'll chant the Sanskrit and then read the translations. Tata nindanam naparam aparadam vitunute yata khyatim yatam katamu sahate tuta jivraham. Criticizing or blaspheming saints and great bhaktas increases terrible offenses towards Sri Nam. How can Sri Krishna tolerate blasphemy of great souls who are devoted to Sri Nam and who preach the glories of Sri Krishna Nam in this world? Therefore, the first offense is to blaspheme the bhaktas. Shivasya Sri Vishnu Yaiha Gunanam Adi Sakalam Diyabhinam Pashyet Sakalu Harinam Ahitakra. In this material world, Sri Vishnu's name, form, qualities, pastimes, and so on are all auspicious for all living beings, for all beings. If one considers them material phenomena and different from Sri Vishnu himself, this is detrimental to one's chanting of Sri Harinam. It is also namaparad to believe that Shiva and other devas are independent and equal with Sri Vishnu. So he's just going to list them, and then I think the explanations in depth that immediately follow are really worth our time to consider. The other offenses are Guru Avagya, to disrespect Sri Guru, who knows Nam Tattva, by considering him an ordinary mortal human being and with a body made of five material elements. Shruti Shastra Nidhanam, to blasphemy the Vedas, the Satsatas, the Puranas, and other scriptures. Artavada, to think that the glorification of Sri Harinam and Shastra is an exaggeration. Harinam ni kalpanam, to interpret Sri Harinam in a mundane way, or to think that Nam himself is a product of the imagination. Nam lad balad yasya hi papa buddhi, avidyate tasya yamahi shudhi. It is certain that one who engages in simple activities on the strength of Sri Nam cannot be purified by artificial yoga practices such as Yam, Niyam, Dhyana, and Dharana. Dhammavrata Tyaga Kutadi Sarva Shubhakriyastam Yam Apipamada. It is an offense to think, number 8, that rituals and pious activities such as Dharma, Vrata, Tyaga, and Homa are equal or even comparable to Bhagavan Sri Divyanam, transcendental name. Asadadhane vimukhe pya ashrinand vimukhe pya ashrindati yaschopadesha shivanama aparad. Namaparad is namaparad to give instructions on auspicious Sri Nam to those who are faithless or averse to hearing Sri Nam. This is the last one. Shrute pi nama mahatye ya priti rahato nara aham namam namadi paramo namne sapya aparada krit. One is a nam aparadi if even after hearing the wonderful glories of Sri Nam, he does not show love or enthusiasm to chanting Sri Nam and clings fast to the material conception of I and mine. That is to say, I am this body composed of blood, flesh, and skin, and things relating to this body or mine. Vijay, please make us understand all these offenses by explaining each shloka completely. So this is a very fairly elaborate and very clear and deep discussion of the 10 offenses, so we should listen carefully. The first shloka, Babaji said, describes 2 offenses. It is a great offense to blaspheme, censure, or disrespect bhaktis who have completely given up materially motivated practices such as karma, dharma, dhyan, yoga, and vipassana, who have an exclusive mood of devotion. And who with an exclusive mood of devotion have taken shelter of Bhagavan Sri Nam. Sri Harinam Prabhu cannot tolerate blasphemy of those who preach the factual glories of Sri Nam in this world. One should not blaspheme those bhaktas who are one-pointedly devoted to Sri Nam. Instead, one should accept them as the best of the saintly persons. One should remain and perform Namkirtan in their association. One will certainly attain the mercy of Sri Nam very quickly. Sadhu Ninda, to criticize saintly people. And saintly people are those who have given their life to the Supreme. And with the onset of the onset of internet, offenses have increased many fold, and it's affected many, many people's spiritual lives. They'll lose taste for the holy name. Because there's a verse that even says that idle talk will lead to gossip, and inevitably it will result in offense. So we have to be very careful. There's even practically websites dedicated to offense. And it's not, people don't understand. People don't understand how serious it is. Of course, there's a constructive criticism, but that's when you have the right, you're in the right position to do so, and it's not born of any envy. So basically, when it's your duty, and it's done as duty, not without any personal malice. Because if it has a drop of envy, then you'll commit offense. So what, if one could do this one thing practically, this is the greatest obstacle for our devotion. If one can do this one thing practically, they can very easily advance in Krishna consciousness. Vijay, now can we understand the first, now that we understand the first offense clearly, kindly explain the second offense. Babaji, the second offense is mentioned in the second part of the first shloka and is explained in two ways. First explanation, that it's an offense to Srinam to consider Sadashiva and other leaders of the Devas as independent of Sri Vishnu. According to Bhavishwara Vad, the doctrine of many controllers, Sadashiva is a perfectly powerful controller who is independent and separate from Bhagavan. Sri Krishna. However, this conception creates an obstacle to one-pointed bhakti. Sri Krishna is actually the controller, and everyone, and Shiva and the other devas are only there, achieve their position through his power. These devas have no separate power of their own, and it's namaparad, swam harinam, thinking that they do. So it's to think them as independent or equal. So I see one thing. The second explanation is that it's also an offense to Srinam to consider that the all-auspicious, intrinsic sarup of Bhagavan's name, form, qualities, and pastimes is different from Bhagavan's eternal, perfect form, Krishna's intrinsic nature, Krishna's name, Krishna's qualities, and Krishna's pastimes are all transcendental, non-different from each other. One should perform Krishna Nam Sankirtan with this knowledge and realization. Otherwise, there will be an aparad, offense to Srinam. Thus, one should perform Krishna Nam after first comprehending Sambandh again. That is the process. So there's a lot here. So to consider them equal or independent, it's an offense to consider them equal to demigods, because then you won't understand Krishna's supreme position and the supreme position of his name. If you consider them equal, it's an offense. And if you consider them independent, it's an offense. transcendent means that, you know, they are expansions of God and they have to be respected. So they either respect to disrespect them or respect them too much or have the wrong misconception, have the wrong conception of them. And the second offense is to consider Krishna's name as different from Krishna, or Krishna's form, or Krishna's pastime. And therefore, to understand these things thoroughly, it is incumbent upon everyone to understand some Bandhagyan or basic philosophical concepts of Krishna consciousness that distinguish the soul from God and God from matter and the soul from matter. Vijay can understand the first and second Namaparads very well, but you have kindly explained to me the relationship of simultaneously one and difference. Because you have kindly explained to me the relationship of simultaneous one and difference between Sri Krishna's transcendental spiritual form and Sri Krishna himself, who possesses the form, between his transcendental qualities and he who possesses those qualities, between his names and he who possesses those names, between the parts. He explained this, how Krishna is non-different from his name, form, qualities, and past life. One who is taking shelter of Srinam must also learn from Sri Gurudev about the respective natures of the chit conscious and achit unconscious tattvas and about the relationship between them. Now kindly explain the third offense. So therefore you must understand this. I understand. Srinam Guru is he always awards instructions about the superior of Nam Tattva, and one's duty is to remain fixed and resolute, and one's duty is to maintain fixed and resolute bhakti towards him. It is Namaparad to minimize the position of Guru, thinking that he only knows about Nam Shastra, where the scholars of Vedanta philosophy and other Shastras actually know the meaning of Shastra. Actually, no guru is superior to the non-tattva guru, and it's offense to think that he's less important. So the most important information is some Bandhagyan, to actually understand that I'm different than the body, understand that I'm different from God, and to understand that God is not material. And therefore, to understand that God's name is not different from him. That's the most important thing. And one who understands and realizes that tattva, applies it into his life, and explains that tattva very clearly, is superior to people who know, so-called know the Shastra, but are not well-versed in this. And we see that. We see that people have become scholars, but they don't understand the tattva of Namaparad. They offend devotees. And they don't understand it's wrong because they don't have a clear conception of it. Vijay Prabhu, I am sure of your well-being if I can maintain pure bhakti towards you. Please explain the fourth offense. There's a special instruction in the Shruti regarding the ultimate goal. There, the glories of Srinam are declared to be the foremost of spiritual processes. So now there will be a whole series of verses describing the glories of the holy name. Not really accepting these fully, just thinking that they're eulogy or exaggeration. So the first one, Om Asya Jananto Namachid Vittanas Mahaste Vishnu Samatam Bhajamehi Om Tatsat. O Sri Vishnu, one who chants Srinam thoughtfully and properly will not be confused and disturbed in his bhajan and other regulative practices. In other words, When one accepts Srinam, there is no question of the place, time, and person being favorable or unfavorable, because Srinam is the all-illuminating personified form of knowledge and the supreme noble object. Therefore, we offer our prayers to Srinam. Om Padam Devasya Namasa Yanta Shravasya Vasvasya Shravasya Vashava Anamnikam Namami Chidardari Yagihani Padrayanti Ramayanta Sandrishtau. O most worshipable Lord, I am offering obeisances to your lotus feet again and again. Hearing the glories of your lotus feet may give bhaktas the adhikari for fame and liberation, but what is the value in that? Still more glorious are those bhaktas who engage in discussions and debates to establish your lotus feet as the ultimate abode and together cultivate their service relationship with you through the performance of Sankirtan. When asakti appears in their hearts, they take sole shelter of your Chaitanya Sarup Nam, fully conscious name, to achieve darshan of your feet. One more. Om Tam U Stotara Purvam Yatavada Vatasya Garvabham Janusha Vipartana Asya Jananto Dhamma Chid Vivittana Mahaste Vishno Samatam Bhajamahe. The letter U indicates utter astonishment that we cannot make our lives successful by performing kirtan of Sri Krishna as you do. And I guess it's talking about the word Om. As you do, glorifying that supremely renowned, primeval, and complete tat and sat reality. The reason is that we not know how his stava prayers and kirtan should be performed. Therefore, our eternal duty is to fulfill the purpose of our human life by engaging in incessant harinam kirtan. Okay. All the Vedas and Upanishads proclaim the glories of Srinam, and it is nam aparad to blasphemy the mantras that reveal the glories of Srinam. Some people unfortunately neglect the Shruti mantras that give these instructions and give more respect to the other instructions of the Shruti. It is also nam aparad, and the result will be that the offender will not have any taste for Srinam. You should perform Harinam with the understanding that these main Shruti mantras are the life and soul of the Shruti. Well, let's just go over this one. We'll come back to it. Prabhu, it seems if nectar is pouring from your mouth, now I'm very eager to understand the fifth offense. The fifth offense is to give some mundane interpretation to Sri Harinam. So, the fourth offense is you consider I just got to look up something if something doesn't make sense to me here. Offense was to blaspheme the Vedic literature as a literature in pursuance of the Vedic version. So Babaji explains that in the Vedic version that the Vedas and the scriptures, they glorify the holy name. In fact, I wrote one article called Nam Kirtan, the essence of the essence of the Bhagavatam. So to blaspheme those literatures or not take them seriously, and then he's quoting from the Rig Veda, the Hari Bhakti Vilas. So then he concludes that all the Vedas and Upanishads, they proclaim Harinam, Srinam, and it's Namaparat to blaspheme them. And unfortunately, some people neglect these, because mostly ours is Smriti. You know, our main pramanas, our main means of knowing, our main shastras are not those spoken directly by God, but repeated by realized souls, Smriti, after remembering or hearing those messages. And we give more credence to that because we're hearing it from great souls who realized it. Yata, yata, ditam, yata. What is it? Because they realized and heard it, therefore they can make it relevant. So we're used to that, but he's saying don't blaspheme the Shrutis, because Nam is the life and soul of the Shrutis also. And so now, fifth defense is, it's confusing, because the fifth defense was, as written there, was Arthavada, to give some, to consider the glories of the holy of imagination. And this is talking about mundane interpretation. So let's just go and we'll see what happens here. Where, let me see if you mention if I can. Okay, he just switched them around. That's all. Okay. So the fifth defense is to give some interpretation, mundane interpretation. And he goes, the Jaimini Samhita explains this offense as follows. Shruti smita parane shu nama mahatya vachishu yer tavara iti bruyor natesha miraya shaya. Those who consider that the mantras of the Vedas, Puranas, Upanishads, and other Vedic literatures have exaggerated the glories of Bhagavan Nam will go to everlasting hell and never return. In Brahma Samhita, Sri Bhagavan has said to Sri Brahma, Sri Bhagavan has said, Yanama Kirtana Falam, Yanama Kirtana Falam, Vividham Nachamya. Na shraddhati manute yarutarta badam yo manushatamiha duka chaye shapani samsara gora vidhati yati vitadam. If a human being does not become faithful when he hears the glories of Harinam, but believes them to be an exaggeration, I put them into the terrible cycle of birth and death of all kinds of miseries. In the Shastras, it is said that Bhagavan's names contain all Shaktis. Srinam is completely spiritual, and therefore he is successful in destroying the illusions of this world. So anyway, it seems to be that this is, it seems what happened in the translation, that they mixed up the English translations, and they're giving this as interpretation when this is exaggeration. That it's an offense to exaggerate the glories. Krishneti mangalam nama yasya vachi pravartate vasmi bhavanti rajendra mahapatatta kotaya. O king, millions of sins are burned to ashes if the supremely auspicious form of Krishna's name resides in one's mouth. Nanyat pashyami jantunam vihaya hari kirtanam sarva papa prasa nam Ayaschitam Trijotama Brihat Naradiyatvana, O best among the Brahmins, Sri Harinam is the atonement that destroys all forms of sin. I consider that one who gives up Sri Nam to be no more than an animal. Nam Nam Hiyabati Shakti Papanir Harane Hare Tavat Kartum Nishaknoti Patakam Pataki Nara. The potency of Sri Harinam can remove more sins than the most sinful person can commit. All these glories of Sri Nam are the Supreme Absolute Truth. When people active in karma and jnana hear them, they concoct explanations to protect their own activity. Their explanation that the glories of Sri Nam mentioned in Shastra are not really the truth, but are exaggerations intended to create a taste for Sri Nam. Namaparad will prevent such offenders from getting a taste of Harinam. You should perform Harinam with the full faith in the statements of the Shastra and never take the association of those who give mundane explanations. Furthermore, they unexpectedly appear before your eyes. You should take bath with all your clothes on. That is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction. And Vijay, Prabhu, it appears difficult for householders to chant Sri Nam because we are always surrounded by offensive people who are not at all devotional. It's very difficult for Brahmin pandits like ourselves to have such sang. Prabhu, please give us the strength to give up bad association. The more I hear from your mouth, the more my thirst for hearing increases. Now please explain the sixth offense to us. Babaji, the sixth offense is to consider Sri Bhagavan Nam to be imaginary. Mayavadis and fruitive materialists think the changeless Nivrishash Brahman to be the absolute truth. Those who believe the rishis have imagined Sri Bhagavan Nam as Rama and Krishna as a method to attain perfection or Namap. So if they think that the worship of God is just a means to attain the absolute truth, and actually the personal distinction of God, his personality is an imagination. Harinam is not imaginary. So this is basically what they're saying here is just as an impersonalist, they may worship Radha Krishna, considering, as it said, as Prabhupada quoted Dr. Radha Krishnam in the commentary of the Bhagavad Gita, it's not to Krishna we have to surrender, but the unborn beginning is within him. And therefore, Krishna is just an illusion, part of the illusion to just steady our mind. Harinam is not imaginary. He's an eternal spiritual vastu. Sri Shadguru and the Vedic Shastras instruct us that we engage in the process of bhakti, Harinam manifests within our spiritual senses. Therefore, Harinam must be accepted as the absolute truth. And one thinks he's imaginary, one can never attain his mercy. So basically, it's saying that to consider that Krishna and his name are products of the illusory energy, or our imaginations, or kalpanam, Harinama Kalpanam. We think that they're our imagination and they're not real. That's an offense. We'll do one more and we'll finish the rest the other day. Vijay, before we took shelter of your lotus feet due to bad association, we also thought this way. Now by your mercy, this conception is vanquished. Please explain the seventh offense. Babaji, one who's engaged in sinful activities on the strength of Sri Nam is a Namaparadhi. So the Holy Name is so powerful, and we hear the glories of the Holy Name, that it can destroy more offenses than one can commit. Then, you know, we may do things. But the subtle conception is that the reaction to these things will be eradicated by my chanting of the holy name. So therefore what it means is you're using the holy name in the service of your sinful activities. I think it's going to be mentioned here. It's like, I heard it someplace, it's like throwing a pearl, you know, to feed a pig. Pearl is so precious, that's not its use. So Harinam is so precious, its value is not in the service of our sinful life. And if one does that, that's an offense. If one performs sinful activity in the belief that Sri Harinam will purify him, one cannot be free from those mountains of sins by following the rules and regulations of Vaishnava conduct, because all these activities then assume the form of further sins that are in the category of nama-aparad, and only the process for nullifying nama-aparad can destroy them, which is to chant incessantly. Prabhu, if Harinam could destroy all sins without exception, then why does it not destroy the sins of one who chants Sri Harinam, and why is he deemed an offender? Babaji, on the day that the jiva accepts Shudanam, one name that he utters certainly destroys the sum total of all his parabdha and uparabdha karma. And through the second name, prema will arise. Those who chant Shuddha Harinam have no desire to perform even pious activities. And what to speak of their maintaining papa buddhi, a mentality that I shall commit sin and then chant nam to exonerate myself from that sin. A person who is taking shelter of Sri Nam will never commit a sin. However, it may be that a sadhaka only utters Nama Bas and not Shudanam because of some remaining Nama Parad. The sins that he performed before chanting Nama Bas are being destroyed, and there is no taste for committing new sins. Nama Bas also very slowly destroys whatever sinful karma remains because of previous practice. Sometimes he commits offense. Sometimes he unexpectedly commits new sins, but they also go away because of his Nama Bas. However, it is Namaparad to take shelter of Sri Nam and then engage in sinful activities thinking, since the influence of Sri Nam destroys all sins, certainly will destroy the sins I am committing now. Okay, to be continued. Are there any questions? Okay, would anybody like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. This is Gail.
Hi, Bo, Gail. Hi, Bo. Thank you, Gail. Mm-hmm. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, then we will head out for today. Thank you all. See you again on Sunday.